Welcome, everyone. I am Jennifer Bloom, host of Soul Wisdom Abundance, Create Wealth Through Spiritual Health here on Transformation Talk Radio. And of course, I'm going to take a deep breath after that big, long sentence. And I am delighted to be sharing space with all of you again today, whether this is your first time listening in or whether you've been listening for a while. I just want to welcome you. I'm really glad that we get to share space and talk about how to do money differently. There's a lot of pain and a lot of suffering and a lot of patterns that we could talk about on this planet that all have to do with money. And as each individual one of us creates something new within us in our relationship with money, it changes the globe. So that's my mission in a nutshell. And the biggest transition to make, I think, when we start to think about releasing some of this pain and suffering around money is actually, I've already said the word, is to understand that money isn't just transactional, it's relational. We tend to lean on the transactionness of money, right? I work this many hours, I get this paycheck, I want this good in service, so I give this amount of money. And we keep it at that level. But the reality is that money is a divine resource. We are in relationship with the divine, and we are also in relationship with the energy of money. All of that together is what I call the soul money relationship. And that is a relationship just like your relationship with your mother or your partner or your boss or your best friend needs care and nurturing. It's going to look a little bit different because the divine and money don't have free will. They're following your leadership. That is different than any other relationship that you're in. But it still needs nurturing, whether you're Oprah Winfrey or whether you're, you know, the 16-year-old fresh in the world who's learning how to handle money for the first time. Now, I think that, and it'll be interesting as I introduce my guests in just a minute to get their take on this, but I think one of the worst myths out there about relationship is that it's only a good relationship if it's not effortless. I think relationships, no matter how, I mean, we don't want lots of effortful, hard work relationships, but we want relationships that nurture, that are nurtured. We want relationships that expand and grow, and that takes nurturing. And money is the same as any other relationship in that way. So before we go any farther, let me introduce my guests. I am super excited to have both Jennifer and Stephanie Pagewise here. They are quantum relationship coaches, and I'll let them explain what that means. But the bottom line is that they help their community develop true intimacy and rock solid relationships, which I would love to raise my hand for that. Even I have been married for 30 years and there's been plenty of ups and downs, but any you know, it could certainly use a lot more tending in many different ways. So welcome you two. I'm so glad that you're here with us.
Well, thank you very much.
Thanks for having us. We're glad to be here too.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a great conversation today. So, all right, well, I'll tell you what. Why don't you share a little bit with our listeners about the two of you and the work that you do, and then we'll dive into some questions here.
Sounds good.
So, go ahead, you go first today.
Okay, well, we are Enchanted Awakenings, and we are, as Jennifer said, quantum relationship coaches. And what that means is we focus on the mind, body, spirit, with a big emphasis on spirit of relationships. And we really connect to our spirituality and our divine self, because that's who we truly are. And when we lean into that being, our true self, boy, can we have amazing relationships. So that is what we do. And we've been doing it for a while now, and we love it.
Absolutely. You know, we started off teaching spiritual texts. I mean, that's kind of how we started off in the whole process of really realizing that we had something to offer people, you know. So it started off teaching the specific spiritual texts to people. And we saw that the dynamics of the way we can banter back and forth, we can help each other with growth, and explaining things to people and connecting with people, truly connecting with who they are deep down in their soul. We realized that, wow, we need to do something with this beyond just teaching the spiritual text. we need to take this and talk to people about how to have relationship, because relationship starts with your relationship with yourself. I mean, that is first and foremost. You know, we always get this question of, oh, well, but I'm not in an intimate relationship, so how can you help me? Well, relationships, unless you live in a cave on the top of a mountain and you see absolutely nobody in the world, you're in relationship with people. You see people at the grocery store, you see people, you know, someone cuts you off in traffic, you have your children, your parents, your spouse, your boss, everybody. So relationship, the way in which you show up in this world, makes a difference in every relationship that you have.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So would you agree with me or disagree with me that all relationships require tending and nurturing? Or is the only good relationship one that is effortless?
No. I would agree with you 100% that it takes effort. Yeah. I mean, we have a wonderful marriage. We really do. But it takes effort day in and day out.
Right. And I mean, it shouldn't be like, you know, shoulder to the grindstone effort all the time. It should have that ebb and flow. But yeah, it takes tending and nurturing. It's a growing being in and of itself.
Oh, I got goosebumps when you said that. I highly agree. It's the, you
I
know,
do too.
Right. Yeah. Dude. It's you. It's the partner, who whatever role, right, is over here. Right. And then this third entity in the center. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you got to water that third entity. You got to feed it. You got to do something with it. Otherwise, it just sort of withers on the vine.
Mm-hmm. Right. And then you end up with, you know, one over here and one over here, and you don't connect.
Yeah.
You know, you lose that connection between the mm-hmm. two of you. You know, I can survive in this world out of relationship with Stephanie, and Stephanie can survive in this world out of relationship with me. But if we want it to work together, there has to be some tending in the center.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So let's come back to the two individuals that are in relationship, mm-hmm. because, you know, it's very interesting in my work with money. I'm sure it does not surprise you that I hear a lot of, it's not necessarily complaint, but it's, well, my spouse does X, my partner does X. If they just stop X, then this relationship with money would be perfect. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm like, well, if I could figure out how to make somebody else change, I would bottle it, sell it, and be a quasi-zillionaire.
And I could sit on my couch and let it happen.
Yeah, exactly. But that's not how it works. And yeah. it's not even how it was designed to work. I mean, I think mm-hmm. relationships are such a lovely tool for shining that mirror back on ourselves and allowing us to create that growth within ourselves.
I think of relationships as the petri dish for awakening.
Ah, nice.
And you could say that your relationship with money, it's still a relationship, is also, if that's where your focus is right now, great. Let it be the petri dish for your own awakening to your own true self, which is, of course, a divine spiritual being. So we are able to see our stuff when we start looking at what's happening with person B or money or whatever it is, because we're reflecting our attitudes, our problems, our own frequency onto that thing. And so whatever it's showing up as is telling us something about ourselves. So however Jennifer's showing up in my perception, that's got information for me in it. It's not 100% only about me, but there's stuff that's happening inside of me based on her that can help me learn more about myself, expose my shadows, and let the light shine in so that I can be more healed and more truthful.
And that's the goal, isn't it? Right? That the more that we expand, the more we can show up. And the more we show up, the more that connection deepens.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
100%.
Mm-hmm. So, I'm formulating my question here because, you know, you I'm on board, right? So number one, I'm on board, right? We're projecting, and I love that description, by the way, about how we're projecting our frequency onto this third entity here in the center. So how do you know what's yours and what might be somebody else's? What's that? How do you figure that piece of the puzzle out?
You know, again, that's one of those things I wish we could model.
Yeah.
You know, because if I could give you 100% answer on that one, I think we would solve a lot of people's problems, because many of us are empathic. So we do absorb other people's thoughts and energies and frequency and vibration, and sometimes don't know if it's ours. So for me, the way in which I know really, truly, deeply if it's mine is taking the time to slow down, stop, pause, and ask spirit, is this mine? Is this my stuff? Is this my energy? Is this my concern? Or am I taking on somebody else's? And if I truly connect and listen, then I have a better understanding and better answer for that. But I don't always get the answer. You know, sometimes you just have to go deeper, and it's not always easy. Mm-hmm.
So do you have a suggestion for people about how to do that, about how to do that, the connection, or how to go deeper, what that means to you?
Well, for me, it's really taking that deep breath and dropping down from my brain, because my brain is frantic all the time. That's its job. Its job is to produce thoughts. Thoughts may or may not be true. They're usually based upon the moment. You know, truth for me comes from such a deeper place. My heart space, my gut space, way more reliable than my head space. Uh-huh. So taking that moment and taking a deep breath, I think the breath is such a powerful tool for anything, because it slows us down. If we really take a breath into our belly space, into our heart space, deeply, just dropping out of our head into our belly and our heart, and then saying, okay, what's really happening here? What do I need to know? And when I listen, the answer is usually pretty close to being there. And if there's no answer, then the answer is wait. Hold on. Uh-huh. Hold on, and then keep asking. And I have learned so much I'm a therapist by trade. And so I've had to learn very much about how to just sit back and listen. That's obviously something that we have to cultivate we live in a very fast society. We're always, things are coming at us. You know,
how many millions of thoughts do we have a day?
It's something like, what was it? Oh my gosh. It's 200,000 thoughts a day or something like that.
At least.
But here's the thing. 95% of them are the exact same thoughts we had yesterday. So, interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes.
So only 5% are original thoughts? So can we trust those things?
Yes. No, no.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
I think we need to drop down into our heart space and ask ourselves, our higher self, our authentic self, what's the truth? What's really happening in this situation?
Yeah. And it sounds to me too, like there needs to be some willingness on both partners' parts to do that. And that, depending on where you are in your relationship, that might be trickier than others.
It is, because as you said, I can't change the other human being. Mm-hmm. I cannot make Stephanie think a certain way, do things a certain way, want things a certain way. Only she can do that. And she brings that piece to the relationship, and I bring my piece. And then we have to figure out, how does it coexist?
We can bring awareness of an issue, of a thing, to the other person. So we can bring awareness of it, that this is something that I'm seeing. So if I was talking to Jennifer about issue Z, I can say, there's this issue Z, and this is what I see about issue Z. This is how I'm feeling about issue Z. This, you know, if I have boundary issues about it, if I'm feeling not heard, whatever it is, I have to talk about what's happening on my side. And then she's aware of issue Z And I can ask her, what's your position on issue Z? What's happening for you on issue Z? If she's willing to talk about it and look at what's happening for her, okay, then we have somewhere to go. If she turns around and says, well, I don't think there's an issue, we have a problem.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So you brought up a word that I wanted to discuss a little bit farther, and that is boundary. Tell me about boundaries. What makes, what kind of boundaries are good in relationship? Let's start talking about boundary and what that means.
Well, you know, most of us are not taught about boundaries as children. We're not, because as children, we're supposed to be seen and not heard. So we're not allowed to have a boundary. We're just supposed to listen and do what we're told. I mean, that's how most children are raised in society, at least Western society.
Certainly from our generation up.
Certainly our generation. You know, you're seen and you're not heard. So if I have a boundary that I feel someone is crossing, I'm not allowed to say anything about it. I just have to accept it because I'm the kid. So then we become adults and we don't necessarily know what boundaries are. Yet we know something's not quite right. You know, something doesn't feel good. So we teach our folks to understand boundaries are okay. And it's okay to tell someone what's okay with me and what's not okay with me. I have that right.
And that's the true definition of a boundary. What's okay and what's not okay for you. It's as simple as that.
Wow. Okay. So can you give me a couple examples? Like what in a relationship, what might a boundary be?
Well, let's see. A boundary, for example, Stephanie likes to journal. I don't, but she does. And she has, I don't even know how many journals are in this house. I have never once opened them. That's a boundary.
Yep. Yep.
That's her private writing. If she wants to share something with me from what she's written, she will. Because she feels that I need to know what she's written and maybe it's something, a discussion we need to communicate on. But if not, that's none of my business. I don't have the right. Because that is her boundary. That is her personal writing. Yeah. And that's just, you know, kind of a simple boundary. There's, you know, I mean, there's physical boundaries, you know, where, you know, someone doesn't have the right to sexually harass me. I don't have to accept that from somebody. Mm-hmm. So that can be a physical boundary. You don't touch me if you don't know me, right? Mm-hmm. Hold on. This is my space. So those are types of, those are kind of examples of boundaries.
Yeah, absolutely. And so having those boundaries within a relationship, help me understand how that helps a deeper intimate relationship. If I understand yours and you understand mine and we don't, you know, it's like we're not going to cross streams here, right? Then that build to me, that feels and sounds like it really builds trust and safety.
Yeah. And,
right. Is that, am I on the right track here for why boundaries are so important in relationship?
Yes, because we are not going to open up to our true vulnerability if we don't feel safe. And our deepest human need is for connection, but we are not going to allow ourselves to connect if we don't feel safe. We're going to be kind of swirling around each other and we might like come together, you know, to, you know, have intimacy or to have dinner together, but we're living our own lives independently if we don't feel safe. And we see this in marriages all the time. You know, they talk about the kids, they talk about the bills, they talk about the latest television show that they're watching, but they never truly talk about their innermost feelings, their fears, their vulnerabilities, all of that stuff. So when we set boundaries and like, this is how it's okay to speak to me, and this is how it's okay to speak to you, then when we come together for conversations, we know we're going to be safe in it. And so we could show up authentically.
I mean, if I worried that someone's going to yell at me every time I bring up a difficult topic, I'm not going to talk because I don't deal with yelling. That's a boundary for me. It just makes me very uncomfortable and neurologically my body shuts down. I can't converse with you if you're yelling in my face.
Yeah.
So if I was with someone, whether it be even a boss, and I've had it before, where they get really angry and they're yelling at me, I have to say, wait a minute, you know what? We need to have this conversation later when you're calmer, because I can't converse with you when you're yelling. And that's a boundary. And I have the right to have that boundary.
This is really interesting, because I have a client of mine who very similar, right? She grew up with a very verbally abusive parent. And so she goes into lockdown as soon as that voice gets raised. She's in a marriage, and his opinion is, well, that's just my style. Mm-hmm. I'm just kind of gruff. That's just who I am. So you just have to live with it, basically, right? You know, deal with your own fears, deal with your own wounds. He doesn't use those words. Those are my words, but that's basically what he's saying is basically just grow up. You know, I'm not your dad. I'm not here to hurt you. Right. So whose responsibility is it then? Is it his responsibility not to cross that boundary? Is it her responsibility to do some healing work? What's the advice in a situation like that?
It's both.
That's what my answer was. Yes.
It's both.
Yes. Okay.
You know, we need to heal our trauma, because it's going to constantly trigger us if we don't. So we do need to work on, you know, those types of things, but it doesn't mean that he can't take his tone down a notch or two. Like, it's okay if you're being passionate about something. So sometimes when you're passionate, you might talk faster, you might talk louder. That's different than yelling. Yeah. So it's both.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So again, we come back to each of us have a responsibility to show up in the relationship and to really listen and to really say, I do care about you. And because of that, I'm willing to take a look at this and see what's within my realm to shift and change, not to turn me into a different person, not to have you be the boss of me, but because I'm going to show up in a way, because I really want us to have that deep connection.
Right. And just in this particular situation, I would challenge him to say, so this is just who you are. So you're gruff. Okay. So if you're holding a newborn little baby and the little baby's crying and needs a diaper change, are you going to speak to that baby in the same way that you're speaking to your wife when you're frustrated? I bet you have the capacity to be sweet to that baby.
Even though you might be frustrated because the baby's screaming.
Right.
So don't tell me you don't have the skill.
Yeah.
Because clearly you do.
Interesting.
So now we have to use that skill that you can use with that newborn and use it on your wife as well, because she deserves it too.
Yeah.
It's just about compassion for each other.
I agree. Interesting. So let's launch from there circle back around to where we started, which you were sharing in your introduction about connection with divine self.
Mm.
Right? Because I think about, again, about my clients and about the work that she's done and, you know, the releasing of the wounds and the ability to connect, right? Connect vertically into that divine self. So let's talk a little bit more about what that really means and how we go about doing that and how that impacts the relationship.
Well, if we are showing up anywhere as what we tend to think about, that there's two thought systems on the planet. There's the thought system of fear and the thought system of love. And when our minds, capital M mind, not our brain, is in charge, we are in the thought system of love, because we are born to be loving beings. Remember, our deepest need is for connection. And that connection is not just horizontally, it's vertically as well. And so having that vertical connection is knowing that we are a loving being above all else. And that the stripping away of all the trauma, the stripping away of all the shadow, if you will, is what allows us to begin to live in that authentic divine self. And it truly is who we are. So what we tend to do is we help people, we do a lot of talking with early in our coaching with folks to help them discern the what it feels like to be their authentic self versus their conditioned self. And the conditioned self is just absolutely in the thought system of fear. You know, it's there for a reason. It keeps us alive. You know, if we're walking down the street and we sense someone's walking behind us, we want that conditioned self to be like, hey, authentic self, we better run.
Right. Right.
So we want that there. It's not bad. We don't need it all the time. So we need to put that in its place sometimes and lean into our authentic self. And the places that you can find that is thinking of those moments in your life when you have been just in complete joy. And almost everyone can come up with one or two moments in their life when they have felt love, they felt loved, they felt loving. You know, for me, you know, when I was the drum major of my high school band, I could have walked on water. I was so happy. It was what I was born to do at that time of my life. And it was everything to me. I had wanted it for 5 years. I finally got it. It was terrifying, and yet I did it. And I have goosebumps talking about it because it was the highlight of that part of my life. And I loved it. And so when I think about that, and that it just brought everything about me into truth, I was connected with my divine self and with my creator. And so that's what we suggest to folks is like, find that joy spot. And who are you in that joy spot? That's your divine self. And what we do is we try and spend more and more time in that divine self by cultivating the activities, the thoughts that help us ground into that authentic self.
Beautiful. Beautiful. So one more question before we go to break around this. If, let's say, in the nature of my work, I'm working one-on-one with people. I have a few people that I do couple work with, but it's mostly one-on-one. Mm-hmm. So what's the impact on a relationship if one person is doing this work and the other person isn't?
Well, you know, there's two possibilities. One is that the person who is not doing the work sees the incredible transformation in the other person and they're like, oh, I want some of that. I feel that. I see it. I want it. And they figure out a way to find their way to that authentic self themselves. Or they don't. And sometimes relationships don't stay. You know, every relationship is here for a reason, a season, or a lifetime. So there are times that we've worked with couples that we've helped them gently separate because they're not on the same path any longer. So it could go either way.
Yeah, you know, it's really interesting. I mentioned I've been married for 30 years and we got married very young. I was barely 21. And what I always said at the beginning of our relationship was we're really lucky because we've grown together. We've taken, you know, where there were chances to branch, we happen to be more parallel. And, you know, as relationships happen, we reached a point where we really were branching, and we were able to get some good help because, you know, at the outset of the marriage, we really believed it was lifetime. Right. And, got married anyway, a lot of story to say about that. But I think that, you know, that just knowing, you know, what did you say? A reason, relationships are there for a reason, a season, or a lifetime. Mm-hmm. Right. And, I'm very grateful that we found our way back to going parallel, but only because we're still now able to each be in our place of expansion, our own individual expansion, and then the relationship expanded. You know, that's, but just to have that honor and acceptance that, okay, I can come in, I can do my work, and then partner can decide whatever they want, right? And we'll take it from there. Yeah, mm-hmm. Very yeah. Good. Well, I have a million other questions that I could ask and we could talk about, but we need to take a break. So we'll do that. And then when we come back, we'll do a little exercise sharing. So for now, you're listening to Soul Wisdom Abundance on Transformation Talk Radio. I'm Jennifer Bloom, and we will be right back.
Listen up. The wealth you receive is a result of your personal relationship with the soul of money, meaning your spiritual well-being affects your ability to create abundance. Jennifer Bloom works with people to mend the spiritual disconnects that block up the cash flow. How's your relationship with yourself? Are you in balance with the divine? I know, these are big questions, but there are answers. Take Jennifer's free money relationship quiz to learn where you need to focus your energy and watch yourself grow into the abundance you deserve. Trust the divine. Learn to receive. You are worthy of all the wealth you seek. Visit jenniferbloom.com and click on the purple banner to take the free money relationship quiz. That's Jennifer Bloom, BLOOME.com.
Well, welcome back. This is Soul Wisdom Abundance, and I am your host, Jennifer Bloom, and I am joined by my guests, Jennifer and Stephanie Pagewise. And we have been talking all things communication and relationship, and this it's been such a luscious, lovely conversation. So before we step into the next part of the show here, would you mind sharing, of course, there's information in the show notes, but would you mind sharing the best way for somebody to learn more about the work that you're doing in the world?
Absolutely. We have a website, which is www.enchantedawakenings.love. And that would give you all of our information, including our Facebook group that you can join. We have a private Facebook group. But if you want to go just directly to Facebook, we are also found at Enchanted Awakenings, your home for awakened relationships.
Love it. I love it. Fantastic. So listeners, I'm going to really encourage you to check out what they have, because this has just been, like I said, this has been a really luscious conversation, and you can really feel the potential in so many different relationships when we take a, you both are just such a loving, kind, gentle presence, and bringing that peace into the middle of a relationship. It feels like there's so much opportunity for flourishing and expansion. So I'm going to encourage everyone to check out your resources, please. All right. So the second half of the show is really designed to take some of what we've talked about, and not that we were talking about theory necessarily, there's all very tangible things for people to connect with and what we've already shared, but to bring a little bit of information about how we work with people. So we're gonna, we'll take turns here. I'll go first, and then you guys will get to go second. And the tool that I use is a paradigm called soul language. And soul language puts tangibility to soul. And what's really amazing is that we have each of our own individual languages. That's our make part of our makeup. And then we also individually brought additional resources for every relationship that we're in. So for example, I could actually identify the relationship languages that you brought together as a couple to support you in your relationship. But because this is a show about money, well, it's not all about money, but that's one of the foundational topics here, is I identified a language for each of you. So you each have three different languages that support your individual relationship with money. Now, as you can probably guess, that means you each have different styles of money. I'm probably not the first person to tell you that. We haven't talked before about how you two handle that conversation. But what's really interesting in relationship is if I have a very grounded strategic view of money and my partner has more of an airy-fairy magical way about money, that's going to clash a little bit. And we're going to need to learn how to speak each other's language, so to speak. Mm-hmm. So when we can put some tangibility to it, then we can go, oh, I get it. You tend to come with strategy and I tend to come with magic. Okay, how can we combine that? So I'd like to share this. There are three categories of language. So what I identified was the energetic how. The language is for each of you. So this language is about how you energetically are in relationship with money. Okay. Same category for each of you, but you have two different languages. And I'm going to see A, how it resonates with you, and B, let's talk a little bit about how it might create a challenge or create success. Okay.
Awesome.
So let's see, who wants to go first?
Jennifer does.
Jennifer does. Okay. All right. So Jennifer, let me make sure I have the right one for the right person. Okay. So your language is called Teacher of Integrity. So let me read you the description here about that. So this sacred partnership money languages skill with money is to embody the purpose of money, which is for us to play together as souls. This language recognizes when money is being used for a different purpose and helps bring it back to the light. Your how of making money is to honor money's role in your life and celebrate all the ways you can play with other souls with money. Now, one of the special talents of this particular language is that you hold any transaction involving money in the highest honor and integrity. If you're disconnected from this language, one of the things that you might notice is that you can create a high bar to meet before you will accept money.
Okay.
So how does that resonate?
I think that resonates pretty well with me. I do really honor that exchange and what that exchange means. And I think that resonates pretty well. What do you think?
I think it's very interesting because, and I can't wait to hear what mine is. when we have a certain amount in the bank, Jennifer's like ready to like do it, use it for fun things like booking a cruise or going on vacation or buying really cool gifts, things like that. And she loves to give gifts. Mm-hmm. And like to receive them very much, but loves to give them. And so the abundance that we have, she is ready to do those things. So absolutely. And, but also that she sets a high bar to receive money, obviously we're coaches and, I think she holds herself to such a high standard in accepting coaching clients that I think it could be a barrier to actually being able to receive coaching clients. That's interesting because that keeps coming up.
Interesting.
All right. So let's talk about you, Stephanie.
Goodness. says nervously.
No. None of this is bad, right? It's all fodder for the conversation, right?
Absolutely.
Right? We need to know that self better. So for you, it's called nurturer. This sacred partnership language gives you the skill of nurturing money into being. This language guides you to understand that it is easier to create from a full well rather than an empty tank. Nourishing and filling yourself brings an abundance of nourishment from the divine. Money is one way of allowing nourishment. Filling your tank and being an example to others or literally helping others fill their tanks is your how of making money. So when you're in connection, something that you might notice is that you easily nurture your relationship with money, that you intuitively know that money is simply one way to create nurturing. On the flip side, if you're disconnected from that language or this piece of yourself, you might refuse to receive money for giving nurturing or not allowing money into your life until everyone around you has enough money.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. What do you think?
That's interesting because, I'm always wanting to, it's a little harder to see in the money situation, but certainly, when I talk to people and I coach them, it's very much talking about the abundance and making sure that they're getting everything that they need and the people around me getting everything that they need. And often the reticence to let it come into me as well, but also knowing that it's just one piece of abundance, that I get so much from what I give and what I teach, and that, I don't always need to be reimbursed financially for it. I get so much all the time anyway.
Right. So, one of the ways, in coming together, right, if you, and there's nothing wrong obviously, mm-hmm. with being filled with your by your work, right? But we, of course, we all live on a 3D planet, and there are things to do like cruises, right? Exactly.
or paying the mortgage,
or heck, oh heck, yes, we got to pay the mortgage, right? But so as you can see, you know, if you've got one person who is okay, let's fill the cup, let's really, you know, let's allow money to fill the cup, and we've got one person saying, hey, wait a minute, right, we need to have a little bit of let's make sure there's enough integrity, let's make sure there's a bar, let's, right, you know, they can end up at cross purposes. Mm-hmm. So when we know some of these pieces of information, and this is just like one little sliver of information, but when we know that, it makes it easier to have that conversation. It makes it easier to, I think it makes it easier. And what I've witnessed is it makes it easier to have compassion for somebody else and what their preferred mode is. Mm-hmm. And then that way you can create a system for working with this very 3D tangible resource in a way that supports both people in the relationship. Mm-hmm. All right, so that is my turn. And now I will yield the floor to the two of you and would love to experience or play along as you share what you would like to share.
Awesome. So one of the things that we love to look at is patterns in relationships. So we all show up in different ways in relationships. And it's often based on things that we've experienced in our past. And those things come to play in the relationships that we have now. So what I'd love if you would be willing to talk about it is, like, is there like a hot button issue between you and your husband that you're willing to talk about that definitely kind of creates some, I can see on your face that it's already there. So
yes. So hot button issue. I tend to be the person who wants to get it done. I'm the one with the list, mm-hmm. right? I'm the one that says that we got to kick the house this way, the yard this way, and he's somebody who's much more of, hey, you know, we need to have some fun. We need, right? So that does tend to be a hot button issue at a certain point. There, it's like we can go along for a while, and then it's like we reach a point, and then all of a sudden it ignites. Mm-hmm. It ignites.
So as you're sitting here thinking about it, what emotions are coming up for you? What other thoughts are coming up for you?
Yes. So I can feel like frustration in my gut. Mm-hmm. Right. I can feel a certain amount of what's the word I'm looking for? It's not necessarily pride, but it's like there's a right way to do something. Mm-hmm. Right. And I can share more. I know a little bit about where that comes from in my family, but like there's like pride of ownership. Like, why can't you understand there's just these things that need to happen? So yeah, so there's just this, yeah, frustration and misunderstanding, you know, like I just don't get it, right? It's like, right. I just don't get it.
Right.
So would you say that that's a boundary for you?
I think it is both a boundary and it is a I'm not gonna call it a wound, but I think it's an amplification. So for example, at my granddad's funeral, my father's funeral, they told the story about in the rental house, how he, you know, this wasn't something they owned. This wasn't something they were going to get any money out of, but he made sure when the window needed to be replaced that he did it and he stained it and he got it all right, because that's what you do. Mm-hmm. You don't ask for help. You take care of what you know, you leave something better than what you found it, right? So there's this real sense of doing it right, which I think maybe gets inflated sometimes. Mm-hmm. So I think it's a both and. It's a mm-hmm. boundary, and it's something that I've had to really look at as to, wait, is this really mine? Or right. is this a story that's been passed down and I have inflated it?
Right. So has it become part of your conditioning from your childhood, your generation, you know, something generational. And is that truly your authentic self?
Right.
So what comes to my mind, and I kind of lost the question, but how does having everything done right allow you to feel safe?
Because then everybody will love me. Right. Everybody will love me if I do it right.
They won't have any opportunity to criticize me.
That's right.
They can't poke holes at me.
Nope.
So because I feel worried about what other people think of me, and I need them to reinforce my goodness
and my lovability.
Right.
So I do these things so that I can prove, so I can feel lovable.
Exactly. Yep. That's exactly right. That's exactly right.
And when your partner kind of shoves, you know, poo-poos it and is like, oh, come on, let's just go have some fun. This can wait.
It scares the bejesus out of you.
It does. It does. You know, I mean, and we take care of our home, but there are times where I'm like, okay, the grass really needs to get cut. I physically can't do it. You know, we look like Boo Radley. And he's like, who cares what the neighbors think? And I'm like, oh my God, that's like the worst thing you could say to me.
Right. I do care.
I care.
Right.
But it's
right?
not, but it's not surface level caring.
No, it isn't.
It really goes deep.
Deep.
It does.
It's deep.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. And so what the work then is to be more and more in your authentic self so that you know who you are.
And that you're lovable.
No matter what.
Whether your lawn is mowed or it's not.
Or whether you're laying in it naked.
And it's tall enough that it covers everything, right?
Yeah. Right.
Bonus.
See?
Bonus.
See, there's a reason to let it grow.
Okay. So, all right. So my work, and it clearly is something that I have been working on it, but not, I can tell that, I mean, there's definite roots in there though. Cause I can, like, the tears are just here.
I can see them.
Right.
Yeah.
Just about ready. You know, so my work is to remember what I tell everybody else, which is you are a soul walking around on this planet. Therefore you are worthy and deserving.
Exactly. And lovable.
And you are love. You're literally right.
You are love.
Yeah. You're all love. So that's my work.
Yeah.
What's his job?
Well, his job is to hear you.
Yeah.
And one of the ways there's another tool that we would teach you, which is to own the triggers and to share them with him in the exact moment that they come up. So that you know, and he knows that this is a trigger. We just hit it. And so let's just hold space for the trigger. And this is something that Jennifer and I developed in our work together. Like, as we had a very long breakup, we had a 2-year separation. And when we started thinking about coming back together, this was something that we started doing, is because there were triggers from chapter one of our relationship. And so I started doing it because I started getting triggered, and I was just like, oh, that was a trigger. And I would express what it was, because my history, and even now, is I'll just brush it under the rug, handle it myself. And then I never get solved.
And then you get resentments.
Right. So his job is to be willing to go through this with you and to hear your triggers. And to help you hold space for them
so they can heal.
And then my job is to do the healing work so that it's no longer a trigger.
Right.
And express it when it is. And so then he knows.
Yeah. Express it. So it doesn't get swept under the rug and then it comes out sideways, you know, in a month or whatever. Right. Mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And then you're snapping at him for something and he's looking at you like, what did I do?
Yeah, exactly.
He has no idea the thoughts that are going on in your head and the triggers that keep happening and happening and happening that you sweep under the rug and you don't express. And then, as you said, it comes out sideways and he looks at you like you have two heads.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, and it's just, it's so interesting. And we didn't get to, we talked about a little bit about this at the beginning of, in the first half of the show, but communication, you know, this sounds like such an obvious thing for me to say, but you gotta talk, right?
You
have to share what's happening. And, you know, each partner is going to have a different level of comfort. You know, we got to create that safe space, but you know, some of us, I mean, I'm a talker. I'm a processor. I'm happy to process. I'm more than right. You know, and he isn't as much. I mean, he's willing, you know, and if he weren't willing, we wouldn't be together anymore.
Right.
But he may be
more like me that he internally processes.
Very much so. Yes. He does a lot of internal processing and I'm like, no, I got to talk it out. And mm-hmm. and actually, honestly, that's one of those key things that we had to learn in our relationship was that it wasn't that he wasn't paying attention. It wasn't that he wasn't dealing with issues. He was just doing it differently mm-hmm. than how I was. But again, we still have to be able to come together and in some way, shape, or form, communicate if it's a trigger and when it's happening in that moment and how we want to move through it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's one of the other big things that we teach is communication skills. Because again, as children, if we're told we're to be seen and not heard, are we learning how to communicate?
No, not at all.
And we certainly were never allowed to speak when we were hurting, you know? I mean, we could go on and on about this. You've gotten a quick little segment of how we work, but I mean, there's so much to this. And, you know, when we take couples through this, typically the way that we work, if we're working with a couple, is we do individual work with each of them as well as joint work. So we have a 12-week program. So there are 12 couple sessions weekly and 6 each individual sessions.
That's fantastic.
Right.
That is fantastic.
So we can help you understand your triggers, learn the language to use. So then when you come together, there's not this butting of heads in conflict. Yeah.
And we can really coach you because we know what's happening on both sides. And we can say, hey, person A, I know that's a trigger. Can mm-hmm. you please tell person B what that trigger is? And so we give them an opportunity in session to actually practice the skill of owning their trigger. It's not the other person's fault that they got triggered. It's their issue. It's my issue that I have a trigger. And I need to be able to speak fluently about it and shine the light on it so that the shadow goes away.
Because mm-hmm. I can't know all of her triggers.
Right. So you're not teaching people that they have to be mind readers.
No.
Yeah. No.
Right, exactly. And I think that we get lost in that, don't we? You know,
we think that
the other person should, and there's a terrible word in a relationship, right?
Of course.
Should be able to just know. And they don't. Mm-hmm. They can mm-hmm. be the most loving, compassionate person, and maybe they can start to recognize what a trigger looks like, but it's not their responsibility to be able to say that. Oh.
No.
Well, my goodness, you know, there's so many more directions we could go. I really, truly appreciate your time today and the wisdom that you shared and the tools and all of the theories and concepts. This has really been an amazing conversation. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, too. And I loved learning about, you know, our
the money relationship. That's so cool.
Yeah, I would love it if you would send us.
Oh, of course. Yes, I will.
I will definitely send it.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll send you the whole thing. One quick question. Do you work exclusively in the LGBTQ community, or do you work across the board with everybody?
We work with anyone who is open enough to do this work for themselves, knowing that we are lesbians. And so it's allies. It's the queer community and its allies.
Fantastic. Right. Okay. Good to know. Good to know. Yes.
So yeah, if you resonate with us, Yeah. We will work with you.
We're working with,
we have numerous couples.
Yeah. Well, that's good. You're going on my resource list for, because I work again across the spectrum too. It doesn't matter to me. But so it's wonderful to have resources. Okay. So we need to wrap up here again. Thank you. I really, truly from my heart. Thank you. And thank you all for being here, listening to Soul Wisdom Abundance. I am Jennifer Bloom. We are here on the first and the third Fridays of each month. And until we meet again, I want to just wish everyone prosperous blessings.
Thank you for listening to Soul Wisdom Abundance with Jennifer Bloom, creating wealth from spiritual health on TransformationTalkRadio.com. To learn more about Jennifer Bloom or listen to past shows, visit JenniferBloom.com. You can subscribe to this podcast on any of your favorite podcasting outlets. Simply search Soul Wisdom Abundance with Jennifer Bloom.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.